it's, you can't get a 10 in the base meters. Yud Aleph or Yud Aleph?
Help me with my rabbi's wife a little bit.
I was. I did learn my name one night. One night.
He's coming here for this?
No. Soon. We're postponing it to a later time. A more auspicious time.
After Pesach?
Yeah, a little bit after Pesach, probably. It's under discussion. All right. Yud Aleph Yud Aleph. Let's see the Mishnah, the very bottom of the page. B'shachar, in the morning, Mivorch Shtaim Lefaneha V'Yachas L'Achorea. So the Mishnayos, up until this point, were discussing Kriya Shema itself. Now we're going to be learning about Birchas Kriya Shema. So it says...
Before I forget, did you find an answer to my question?
What question?
Oh, thank you.
He has it on tape. That's now I really poisoned it by your own petard.
I have to review it now.
It was about sitting in the sukkah.
Yes.
If, you know, we sit. So when there's no shulchan, what do you have to have a shulchan to sit in the table? I'm in the sukkah.
Oh, you're right. Well, I spent the whole week in Florida. I couldn't even
get that. I don't know.
All right. Next week.
Thank God you want to go fast.
All right. So... let's see the Mishnah. B'shachar mevarach shtayim lefaneha v'yachas l'achareha. So in the morning, before the Shema, we say two brachos, and afterwards we say just one. Goel Yisrael. Okay, and the Gemara, of course, is going to discuss each one in greater detail, which we'll get to some of it today. V'erev, in the evening, mevarach shtayim lefaneha v'shtayim l'achareha. In the evening, we also have two in the morning, two before the Shema. But we had, right, and the, what's the other one? Okay, right, and Shtayim L'Achareha, and we have two afterwards.
Yisrael.
Yeah, Goy Yisrael.
Right,
with the paragraph of Hashkenazim at its end. Okay, fine. So, some actually ask, before we even go any further, why, if we remember, all the way to the beginning of the very first question of the Shema, talking about the Beis Manal. Does anyone remember the first question of the Gemara? First Gemara's question ever in Shas, ever presented on a Mishnah, on Beis Manal, asks the question. Only five words. Is that right? Five words. Right at what says the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "Me'amosai korne Shema ba'arv." When do you say the Shema in the evening? So, the Gemara asks, right, so it gives the whole thing. The Gemara asks, Tana hechikoidik tana meimosai. Where was the Tana basing himself that he asks from when? Which basically, what the question, the Gemara over there was, is how could the Mishnah ask when to say the Shema if we haven't yet even established a chiyuv to say it? Right? First you have to establish that you have to say it, and then afterwards you can start getting into the pratim, all the different details. That's what the Gemara asked. Tana hechikoid. So the Mefarshim asked, well, in a second. The Shema itself, the Gemara didn't know, asked that question. Before you get into the details, establish that there's some obligation to say it. But when it comes to the Mishnah over here, we're going to see the Gemara doesn't even ask it. The Gemara just goes right into the brachos. So you can ask the same question. How do we know you have to say the paragraphs before?
Brachos before. Right. I mean, the Torah doesn't say it about brachos. Without any preamble or without any whatever.
Post-amble. It's a stronger question, which is not even presented. So some explain that that's what Rashi is asking over here. Rashi is answering. You see this first Rashi, B'shachar mevarach shtayim, k'd'omer bebrachos Yerushalmi, it says, Talmud Yerushalmi, that sheva brachos, halalu, these are different Sheva Brachos. There's 4 and 3, which equals 7. Why, you can ask, why is there 7 in particular? Why exactly 7? It's because
the morning and the night together.
If you add all of them together, right? It's all 7. We say 7 Brachos before and after the Shema in total. Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Sheva Bayom Halticha. 7 times during the day I shall praise you. So the question is, why is Rashi saying...
Right, what does this have to do with the price of tea in China? You know they're referring to Shema.
What? Oh, how did... That's certainly is another question.
How do you know this? You're saying how many halos during the day? You say in the morning. You say in Sukkot Zimrus. How do you know they're referring to that? How does he know that this is the?
Because these are the Shadi Doraisa kind of halos rather than the Tehillim.
Like it's attached. It's attached to something which is Doraisa. Could be. But the way it, something to think about your question. But the idea of this Rashi, some explain, is to answer this question that the Gemara doesn't ask. The question is, how do you know that there's any obligation to say Berachas Kriyat Shema at all? So Rashi says, right up front, that there's a pasuk in Tehillim which alludes to this, Sheva B'yom Halticha, which means that we have to say brachos. You have to say Berachas Kriyat Shema. Seven in total.
Yeah, but and you mean until David HaMelech came along and wrote Tehillim and forgot it? None of the other things, nobody ever else thought about this or anything else like that? I mean, the Jews didn't say Shema, they did Daven.
Well, they said Shema, the question is Berachas Kriyat Shema. That was an established, even in David's time, it was established later.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Went through all when did we say, when did we start saying Tehillim as, was it after the Zman of the Gemara, before the Zman of the Gemara, when?
Well, I mean, Tehillim was
written. Said Beis
HaMikdash. Right. That's true. But it wasn't necessary.
It wasn't necessarily tied up with Shema or anything else like that. Shema's from the time that we got the Torah. I mean,
The reality is that Tefillah became established by, it evolved.
Right. Of course.
It's an evolution. Tefillah is a total evolution of everything, okay? And Divrei Chacham added other new prayers, and people accept them or didn't accept them.
I mean, take even like the Son of Tokap is not there. The holiest of our holy tefillahs that
we
say.
No. It's not the holiest. We have interpreted it as that.
Though.
No, we have just made this more impact on us emotionally than each tefillah that you say is depending on how you react to that tefillah. And even the interpretations are totally different. I guarantee you that a lot of the tefillahs we said, I mean, why are they different in Sachar?
There's this one, Ashkenaz, this one, Sfar, way you
but the, but, the word, but the words are totally, some of the words are totally different. No. I think people establish this, utilizing this as maybe a reason to do it. This little pasuk in Tehillim is not saying that you must do it.
No, how do you know it's referring to Shema? I have no idea where did they describe. I mean, Rashi is a heck of a lot smarter than me, Chas v'Shalom, but I think that I'm going. But I'm saying, where does he derive? He has to have some idea where he's deriving it from. He say a lot of hallelujahs all day long. And as I said, the whole pasuk in Zimra is a bunch of hallelujahs all day long. It's all hallelujahs. So how does he know dafka? Where there's no hallelujah in any of these prayers? Show me where any of these prayers in Mariv or Shacharis says hallelujah in any of them. Then he's telling you, show me where it says hallelujah in any of these brachas, the seven brachas we're talking about, where does he go hallelujah?
It's a hallel for Hashem.
But all the other cases, we talk about hallel, or hallel gadol, or hallel this, there's always referring to hallelujahs, whether here, whether it's hallel itself, or this, the word is there. Here, in any of these brachos, there's no hallelujah of any form. How does he get, where does Rashi derive that these seven hallelujahs, this pasuk is referring to these pasuk?
Maybe had Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah, that's a very good way to explain a lot of
it. Exactly right. And this is like, why does Hashem wanted the world to be, why is the world round? Because Hashem wanted the world to be round,
That
is an answer.
Right?
That is an answer.
Well, they say Rashi really did, so.
Define Ruach HaKodesh.
Somebody who picks this person like
this. This is brought down by the Lavush.
Okay.
Lavush asked the question, seven. Take for granted that there is seven brachos.
Yeah,
there is seven brachos every day that we say for Kriyat Shema. So the question is, why is it, the Lavush asks, which we're familiar with, as the Mishnah tells us, that we have more at night and less in the morning. Why do you say four at night and three in the morning? Why is it chosen that way?
It says b'shav pochav kumecha. So b'shav pochav is more important than kumecha.
That's pretty much what the Lush says. He just says one word.
Listen,
he doesn't say those words. But listen to what he says. Shalafi Seder Hazman, because the way that the time works, Erev is Kodom Aboker. Evening is before the day. Lekach This is what the Lavosh says, so you like it or you don't. V'kach lochu harov. V'kach lochu harov. The reason why we chose the majority of the seven Shehem Hadalad L'arvis at night, is reason makdim l'mitzvos. And it's reason makdim l'mitzvos, so you can't do seven and zero. You have to split it. You can't split three and a half each. Four and three, or three and four.
There's only six and one.
What?
There's only six and one.
We have to have something before and something afterwards.
Five and two.
Okay, that's another question.
No, before the night.
That I don't know. But certainly four and three.
That is always more important than say. All the mitzvahs, because I asked Matzah Pesach, I mean, all the mitzvahs sitting in the circle, all these, the night is the entire the Kiddush.
Shabbos start at night. Anything we do, Shabbos starts in the Erev. Everything starts in the night.
Excuse me. This is not an explanation of why four and three. I mean, it's
correct.
One explanation.
It all explains why there's more at night than the morning.
Right, you have seven, because see, you divide them in half, you can't make a three and a half and three and a half. Ontogeny recapitulates
ologeny.
Right.
That's what just happened right now.
You guys are talking over my head. I don't know what you mean.
Explain to them what that is.
you're making a statement that you're rationalizing. Yeah. A concept without any source of what's going on. You're saying words to explain something, but without any. I mean, I was going to ask the question of why is there four and three. I mean, yeah, that's
right. That he doesn't really address that.
No, I mean, I would say this is just based on my own silly logic. Is that, we say that the Shema and the Erev in the time of darkness and it's a little bit more gloomy and everything takes a little bit more. Emunah, than the morning when the sun is brightly shining and the day is dawning and there's a day ahead of you. So that when you're coming into a nighttime or something like that, you need a little more Emunah, so by putting the extra bracha, it directs
the
Kavanah.
Get me a sitter,
please. I think it's like a direction of Kavanah.
So we need more, so we get a little more there to get you through the night.
Help you make it.
You need more chizik.
Why don't we just look at the brachas and see what the essence of the brachas is about?
No, I tell you, see, I'm very wedding minded right now. Obviously.
So when you hear several brachas again,
at my wedding, Rabbi Zvon Liebman, who was probably my principal in Slapers, and he was doing on the Sada Kedushin, that he got up under the chuppah and he said a few words, which nowadays that's not done so much anymore.
Or both.
He got up there and he said that bringing to mind, he says, the Kriyat Shema. He says that he's giving us a bracha that in the morning, he says, you start out and you say, Ahava Rabbah. Well, Ahava Rabbah, every marriage starts out with a Hesa Libra, with a red hot mat of love, Ahava Rabbah. He says, but his bracha to us is that we should be together many, many years. And that the Ahava Rabbah should develop into Ahavat Olam.
Yes.
You know, so but the thing is that this is also that I've seen over that they say Ahava Rabbah versus Ahavat Olam, that you need more Kavanah and more Muna at night than you do during the day. Mm. Because it's just the nature of the night is that it's a more gloomy time.
I have
the
answer.
The answer or not?
I think this is the answer.
Go ahead.
The first bracha from Marav is Hamarav Arav.
Right.
All right. So we're talking about night.
Right.
First bracha for Shacharis is Yisrael Orot. We're talking about raising the sun and the light.
Okay.
The second bracha, both are Ohevis Amo Yisrael.
Okay, yes.
It's Avarabah, but it says Avarabah Amo Yisrael Be'ahava.
Okay.
And then in Marav it's talking about Ohev Amo Yisrael.
Fine. Okay. Similar.
Both are Gaal Yisrael.
Right.
And on the fourth one, it's Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. You need more Shmira at night.
So he corroborates your findings.
Excellent. Very good. And it's textually based. That's great.
Lel Shimurim.
Lel Shimurim.
So you don't need any extra.
Davgan Pesach. Okay. That's why some people say you don't have to say,
you know, the whole thing. Let's put it this way. He certainly doesn't need my Haskama, but I certainly do need this.
Okay.
All right. Let's continue. Let's continue in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah told us the amount of brachos before and after Shachris and Marv. Then the Mishnah continues with Achas Arucha V'Achas Katsara. One is long and one is short. Now if we look at Rashi tells us, kind of the parentheses is what you need to see. We'll see this Rashi. Ashtayim L'Achareha D'Arvikoi. It's talking about the two brachos after the Shema at Mariv, which is the bracha of Goel Yisrael and the bracha by the paragraph of Hashemenu. So if you see the parentheses, which in the Gemara generally we don't read the parentheses, Arucha, the longer paragraph is Emes V'Muna, and Katsara, the shorter one is Hashkibenu. Okay, that's what it means when the Mishnah says one. There's a longer paragraph and a shorter one, which also makes sense because it's in the order of. That's what it says. One is Arucha, one is a Katsara, which is the order. The first one is Emes V'Muna, and the next one is Hashkibenu. So he says it as Makom She'omru L'Harech in Rishol Katsar. In the place in which we have a bracha which is long, which is the first paragraph, you're not allowed to shorten it. You can't condense it. And also the paragraph which is hashkiveinu, which is short, you're not allowed to make a length, which basically means you can't play around with the nusach of the tefillah. It's there for a reason. It's words you might think, oh, I want to add a couple more words, or you know, delete or remove some words. No, you're not allowed to. That's what that part of the Mishnah means.
Okay, so let's extrapolate from that now.
Yeah.
In when we have the last tefillah in Shemot Esrei,
yeah,
Elkanah Tzar, we have a shorter version. The Sfarim have a much longer version of it. This and that.
That's not really part of the Shemot Esrei, but
right.
Okay.
Now, why? What's the here, this is the only time I've ever heard them saying is that the way the nusach is the way that it is to be and not to be altered.
The way your nusach is, yeah. Right. Okay. In other words, I mean, even the way you're saying, if I'm nusach Ashkenaz, but I like that, you know, when they say this
right.
extra sentence and
right,
this.
Right.
If you're nusach Ashkenaz, stick to nusach Ashkenaz. You can't, you know, cut and paste and choose
okay.
this here and
but
this
now,
there.
But here the thing is that you can't change it, be it Ashkenaz or Sephardic.
Whatever the nusach is.
Well, what is the nusach? Is it the nusach as we know it?
Well, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss what it is. Hopefully, the answer is yes. It's what we as we know it is
that,
what.
It sure better be.
Yeah, that's what we're going to hope for.
So,
we're going to get to that point.
What happens if somebody in modern day Israel goes into Tzahal and he's used to davening one nusach or another, and all of a sudden he's davening nusach?
That what he's.
Now he's davening nusach Ari, which they sort of. Accepted as a universal kind of.
But what's his minhag? You can't just change the minhag.
That's questionable.
No. Supposedly, if you're davening b'yichud, you do the nusach that you've been trained to, but in public you do the other.
That's right. Okay. So, by the way, that's the way Rashi interprets it. If you see this short Tosos, my favorite ones are the short ones. The last Tosis over here, Malkim Shomul Katzer Kigon. So he gives it even a different thing, which is interesting. The Mishnah really is talking about Shema, Berachos Kriya Shema, but Tosis is kind of says it's really talking about Brachos in general. Kigon BeBerachos Peros UBerachos HaMitzvos in Laharach. When it comes to short Brachos, like a Bracha on a fruit, or you know, Bracha on food. Or a bracha on a mitzvah, you can't start adding to it. That's what the bracha is. So it's not just referring to Birchas Krishma. It also says it's referring to other brachos as well, which doesn't mean necessarily that he's arguing with Rashi, but there's perhaps some reason why he brings that down as well. But it doesn't seem like they're arguing per se. Okay, so let's conclude this Mishnah. The last line of the Amud, Lachtom in Rishayik Shelo Lachtom, if it's a sealed bracha, you're not allowed to make it unsealed, which with a conclusion to it, okay? And shalom lachtam, in rishalom lachtam, if there's no conclusion of it, which means it doesn't say Baruchat Hashem again, you're not allowed to add that in. So if the bracha is a specific way, and for example, it says here, Shalol Lachtum, Rashi says, Kigon Berchas HaPeros VaMitzvos, it starts off with Baruchat Hashem, but it doesn't say again, Baruchat Hashem, whatever. So you can't just add a bunch of stuff to a bracha just because it sounds nice. You have to stick to
Why
it.
Would we
you have
to
stick
that
to
that you would want to do the way I would in any bracha do we do that to change?
Well, the answer to that question.
Well, it's been done.
Right.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's interesting. The Mishnah is only talking about the two tefillos and Tamarit. They're not talking about the ones of Shachas. In Ava Rabba, the Ashkenazi version of Ava Rabba is much shorter than the Sephardi version of Ava Rabba. There have to be at least four or five variations on Ava Rabba in the Sephardi. So the Mishnah is not talking about
Mahashkimenu for Svardim is much shorter also, if I remember correctly. As maybe that's the Sahari. The Hashkimenu is shorter.
But,
go ahead.
But it's interesting that the Mishnah is only talking about the two tefillahs only related to Tamarit, not to the ones related to Shachas.
Right. At least for the first part about short and long. That's well, that part.
Talking about Rucha and Tzara.
Right.
Those are the only ones they're talking about.
Right.
So you would assume that you are allowed then to have alterations in the first two brachas of Shachas.
That's what it would sound like. At least maybe at least according to Rashi. Tosfos gives it way some more.
According to the Pshat of the Mishnah straight.
Right.
They're only talking about the Sarah and the long and the short.
But if you say the Tosfos we saw, which is Dibur Malchum Malchum Shamul Katzer, is not just talking about the Shema. According to Rashi, it's true what you're saying. Tosfos seems to be saying long and short is not exclusively talking about the Brach Berachas Kriya Shema. It could be anything, you know. But are you saying maybe it's even talking about the first paragraphs are not long or short, or what are you trying to?
In Shachris, he's talking about.
Yeah.
You got a short and a long.
Okay.
In reality.
Right.
Not a long and a short. But I don't think they're discussing those two. I think they're only discussing the ones related to Marif. So my question is why does Marif have a difference than Shachas?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean,
is there any difference between Rashi and Tosfos?
Well, the Tosfos before it, which the little Tosfos is really based on the previous Tosfos. Tosfos actually, you can just see two lines from it, right? Since you asked, see this Tosfos of Achas Arucha. One's long, one's short. One's really long, one's really short. I'll just say it, add it that way, make it a little more dramatic. So Tosfos asks. The first part is just the Dibra Machil, a couple of lines. Then it says Vatema, right? See that? Mm-hmm. It's the question. Hashkvinu Nami Arucha Harmitz. Pretty long. What do you mean? One's long, one's short.
It's wrong.
Right. So then he continues. And then if you jump down to the word, there's the parentheses which begins the line with Kaman.
Yeah.
Then it says Venir Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam explains, not like Rashi, who says Arucha and Katsara are referring to the two separate paragraphs, but rather the way that the Rabbeinu Tam interprets it, that kol koibet emes v'emuna. He says that both of them are referring to the paragraph of emes v'emuna. Both, that in other words, emes v'emuna sometimes could be achas rucha v'achas katsar. Sometimes it can be long, sometimes it can be short. And the Mefarshim explain that this might, in a roundabout way, answer your question. That the Gemara is going to discuss, I believe, in the third paragraph, whether you have to say the third paragraph of Shema at night.
Right.
Forget about the Yisias Mitzrayim part. That maybe they say you can say a line, but the idea of tzitzis isn't the Nogea. So why do you have to say it? So the Gemara actually discusses whether you should say it, you shouldn't say it. So some of Farshim explain, if you say it or you don't say it, that will depend on the bracha thereafter, whether it will be long or short. That's how they explain this Tosfos. Arucha, Katsara. But he's not talking about the paragraph of Hashkivenu at all. But he's just talking about this one paragraph. That's what this Tosfos says. a little confusing, but nonetheless, that's what he did. That's what that Tosas talks about. All right, let's move on. Okay. Before we see the Gemara, we know that when it comes to this mission, basically says you can't add things. Don't add anything. Now, the way it is, the way you should always keep it. So the Mefarshim asks that we know that there are piyutim. We constantly have different. Somewhere in the Yom Naroyim, right? In the Shimon Esrei, we add all these piyutim, and that seems like we're adding stuff. We have constant times that we do this. So he says, how are we able to do this? Shlo Amru, I'm not sure exactly the reason for this, but let's just hear what he says. We brought down the Sefer Beis Yosef. Shlo Amru Enu Rishai Laharech El Batoras Keva. Avol Amrim Dafka B'Yomtiv Shari. He says there's a difference. When it says not to change it, L'Katsu L'Arech, long, short, permanently. But something which is temporarily, and he says, for example, on Yom Tov it's okay, even though you do it every single Yom Tov, but it means that you don't constantly insert this. It's only done once a year. It's only during certain holidays. That's okay. And that's the reason why he explained, this is an interesting part of this. He says, I can prove it to you because when it comes to the first three brachos of the Shmoneh Esrei all year round, we're not asking for anything. We're not asking Hashem for anything. That's the middle part of the Shmoneh Esrei. The first three, praising. And he says that you're not allowed to ask. So what's the problem? He says, because we know, and he's brought down, She'omrim, we say during the Seder Simei Tshuva, what do we insert? Zachreinu, Michamocha, right? We're asking Hashem, Avarachmin, Zochi Tzorav, save us, right? Protect us. So we're asking Hashem to, how are we allowed to do that? We're adding in. So he says, but Neshahim Rachmim L'Ravim, you're asking for compassion. V'gam Kim Hatam, De'enon Rach, it's only something which is for 10 days, and then afterwards you revert back, so you're not really completely being okay, you're not completely uprooting the bracha. So he says that's the reason why it's permitted. Some could say the reason is because that's part of the bracha, was instituted that way. But he explains that just as long as he somehow considers that a valid proof, that that's a reason why you're allowed to add certain things, as long as it's not done continuously, as long as you revert back. That's how he explains it. That's, not sure that necessarily makes tremendous sense, but that's how he explains it. All right. Let's see the Gemara. My Mavarach. What bracha do you say? And obviously, when we go through this, probably one would be wondering, is, what do you mean? These guys don't daven? They're busy learning all day, so they don't daven? Yeah. That's something to think about, which maybe we'll come up with an answer. I'm not sure. So I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yoshi, and he says, okay, the bracha is Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. Okay, that's the bracha when it recurs, and Rashi, the last Rashi said, we're talking about, of course, in the morning, the two brachos before the Shema, the bracha is Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. Hashem fashions, creates light, creates darkness. Now, obviously, one could wonder if we're talking about the morning, Yotzer Hamoros, day, light. Like to mention Choshech, such a terrible word, such a negative connotation. Lema, let's say Yotzer Orbe Noiga. Let's say a different word. Let's say that Hashem created light, Uvori Noga, and He created something which produces brightness. It's a nicer word. Why do we say Uvori Choshech? That doesn't sound right. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. It's not the nicest word. But
you're saying the same thing.
Well, Lila's not a bad word. Choshech. It's like darkness.
More than that,
it's a terrible word.
What's bothered me many choshech. Times about this is that the question of why Yotzer or Uvori Choshech. Oh. Because the concept of Bria is Yesh Me'ayin. The concept of Yetzira is to modify something, fashion it, or take it away, or something like that. And you would have to think that, it's Yotzer Or, and then it's Borei Or, and then Yotzer Choshech. Yotzer Choshech, fashioning Choshech, when you just withhold the Or, you hide the Or.
So explain that.
So why is it that the borei, which is the stronger thing, is the Hayin goes to the kosher, and the yoseh, which is the fashioning, and it comes from this yesh meyesh, comes from the war. I can't understand that. I think it should be the war.
The paragraph itself is the tefillah is amazing. The choshech Hashem actually created it, whatever the correct word is. But it's not that darkness is the absence of light. Right. It says clearly he created darkness. Well, perhaps the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself represents light to create something which is like the opposite of what he represents. Maybe that's like a greater manifestation of greatness.
It's sort of a Hester Panem.
No, but it could be a metaphysical Choshech. It doesn't have to be an actual Choshech.
Could be. I mean, we're gonna discuss.
Well, if you go back to the Chumash,
we're gonna discuss that.
If you go back to Bereishis,
Hester Panem.
If you go back to Bereishis, it's we go okay, and we say Vayarl him as a or kito, Vayabdel him bin a or uleina kosha. I mean, this is how we talk right from Bereishis Baral Kimas Hashemayim Asaris. So this is the language that we use right
now. So he said or was tov, right? He didn't say choshech.
Yeah, it's or ki tov, we have dillon ben or uveina choshech. So it's the same thing. I mean, but that's the terminology that's used in Bereishis. So it's just repeating the terminology that was given to us in the Torah. What's so terrible about that?
Yeah.
So
where in Bereishis do you see the
Shona of Borei? We're not talking about Borei. It says, Vayal him as or ki tov. And it says Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Elokim, He or by He or. That's all.
Astronomically speaking, we've got suns that are radiant and giving off heat. We also have black holes. The black holes have high energy masses. This mass has to be created also. So a dark hole is choshech, but it's not a void of light. It's sucking all light into it. So we got two physical properties that both contain mass and everything else. Maybe that's what we're talking about here. You're dealing with an orb.
The concept of black hole is a mainstream concept, but not a universally accepted concept.
Well, they can see it. They see them and they see everything being sucked into it. So let's make the assumption that the black hole still has mass, so therefore it had to be created. So therefore that could explain both entities of creation of light and dark.
Well, matter and antimatter. The mass had to be created. Doesn't mean it has to be created in a black hole. Maybe a black hole is just a hiding place for mass. Otherwise, it's just in a different form.
But it still is going to be mass. It still contains mass.
Correct. It doesn't mean it's the beginning from the difference from the Yotzer.
We can create a black hole potentially. It's mass.
So the Gemara says, "Kinesiv Kamrina." You might not like the way it's written, but that's the way it's written. That's how we're going to say it. We're not going to change the nusach of our tefillah because we want to stay true to the pasuk, the psukim. And actually, if we go through the Shemoneh Esrei, that's how a lot of the psukim, the way they chose the words, is all based on psuk, or very much so. So, Gemara says, one second. Elmiyata, if you want to tell me that that's the case, that we look at a pasuk, and therefore that's, and then when it's applied to our tefillos, even if the word's not the greatest word, we're going to still go by the way the pasuk says. Oh, wait, what's up until now? The pasuk says, "Oseh shalom uvori ra." That's what the pasuk says. "Oseh shalom uvori ra." Ra is not the nicest word. Mi kamrina k'dichsiv. We don't say that. Even that's the way it's written. Eloksiv ra v'karinin hakol. We know that we say "Oseh shalom uvori es hakol." So how do we change the pasuk there? But we're not going to change the pasuk over there. Right? Because what do we do?
This is Yeshaya, you think?
The pasuk v'yotzer or v'choshech is in Yeshaya, and yeah, they're both in Yeshaya, and they're both in the same parak, mem hey. I don't know what pasuk they are, but they're in the same chapter. So lishna malia, achinami lishna, noiga should be lishna malia. The nicer language, that's how it should say it. So that's the question. So Gemara says, which, maybe the last line we're going to see today. Elom Rav, there's a lot to talk about on this. Kedei lahaskir minas yom, b'layla uminas layla b'yom. We want to be able to, at night, mention the characteristics of the day, and during the day, characteristics of the night. We'll get back to that in a second.
First, and we'll say that in Vayera, you know, in the Bereshit, if you read them across Gedolos, that's what they said, that there was fashion together in their forms of each other, and they're not exclusive. That they go hand in hand with each other.
Right. So that could be one of the reasons of why we mention the characteristic of night during the day and vice versa. So let's just see how we find that, and then we'll discuss this in greater detail. Bishlam Amidas Live Lo Biyom. I understand that we talk about nighttime characteristics during the day by Shachris. Kinamri, we just said that. Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech. We mentioned Choshech even though it's sunny outside. El Amidas Yom Belayla Heichem Mishkach Asla. The idea of the day, character traits of the day at night, where do we find this? Omer Bai, he says, just looking at Shulchan Esrei, rather looking at Kriyas Shema at night. Golei Or Minichoshech, Bechoshech Mipnei Or. So we see that even at night, we say, Bechoshech Mipnei Or. So we mention light even during the time of Choshech, in the time of darkness. So this is what it means, that we have to mention the characteristics on both sides. Now, I just want to share with you a couple interesting thoughts, which I think are interesting, at least. Brought down the Beis Yosef. He brings down, he actually quotes the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, based on the Gemara in Chulin. He says that there was a story, there was a Sadduki, Sadducee, that turned to Rebbe, and he said, the one who created the Ruach, wind, could not have created the mountains. After all, the Pasuk says, Yotzer Harim, Uvori Ruach. Which, you see, there's a difference here. Yotz, Itzira, and Vore. It says they're different creators. The Yotzer and the Vore are different creators. The Yotzer, that deity, created mountains. The other one created Ruach. So he said, what are you talking about? Look at the end of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Hashem Tzavaku Shema. Hashem is his name. Which means that whether or not you're talking about Yotzer or Vore, it's one God. Hachinami Sotu. Ksiv Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech. It says it in this way. Those two different languages of creation. L'kachon Maskirin Osu Yachad Lo Yotzer Echad Borim. He's telling me to tell you that's really one creator created them. And he continues and says like this. It's actually, that's a Tosos and Chulin. Furthermore, you could say it's hinting to the idea Gadol Denoida Midas Laila Din Gomer Midas Yom Chesed Gomer. He says that what's the difference between night and day, choshech and or, doesn't necessarily have to mean day and night, but it could mean what it represents.
Lightness and darkness.
Lightness means chesed, kindness, you're kind, you show kindness. Light, you shine upon that person. Darkness represents din, exactness, that you're very specific. And he says that very often a person who is undergoing Peronios, pains, troubles, difficulties in their life, you can look at it and say, my life is choshech, I'm living in a life of darkness. So they have to acknowledge that there is Hashem, who is the creator of Or, that is behind that. That we may not understand the choshech, the dark times that we're going through in our life, but Hashem is also the Ovari Or, he also is the creator of light at the same time. He says that's the idea of the Pasuk, that at the same time when we're undergoing the emunah of the nighttime, the darkness in the night, we also have to remind us of that Hashem represents the kindness, the compassion of the morning. So based on that, I explain that's the significance of the Shema itself, because Hashem and Elkein are different words of Hashem, but one of them is Hashem is Midas, and next word Shema Yisrael Elokeinu is Midas Hadin. So you can say, well, he's this, he's that. Which one is he? Shem Echad. It's the same. Sometimes we see the good. Sometimes what we interpret to be good, really may be Choshech for us. That might be the worst thing for us, right? Person wins the lottery. Great. That really could be your biggest Choshech. That could be your biggest sign of life. Person sees tragedy in their life, that could really be their Or. We don't know. And therefore, that's the significance of the two. The Ben Yoyada gives a more practical answer. Ben Yoyada says like this. He says that, based on this Gemara, that we have characteristics of both, during the day and night. that during, whether it's the day or night, Hashem never rests. Ki aretzi, this is Hashem's land. And he says, that's what the pasuk says, Hashem never rests, like the city that never sleeps. And he says, kimo kador, like a ball, omedes, we have a ball, which is what the world is. Vakasher yesh yom b'shetach zeh, shanach liyoshim bo, it's day on this side of the world, the globe. Yesh laila b'shetach kishenegda, eber sheni, on the other side it's dark. Right, so he says that's what the Ben Yehuda, interestingly enough, says. Yotzer or v'choshech, because even though right now it's day for me, the other side of the world...
The Orient is light.
When did he live?
I don't know. I think maybe 500 years ago or so. I don't recall. Somewhere in that era. I don't remember. But he obviously knew the world was round.
He was born after Copernicus.
Apparently so. Apparently. I mean, I have to look up his year. I don't know. But yeah, he's I believe he's an Achron. He came after in the 1500s or so. I believe so. So he says like this, he continues and says, that's what it means, Yom Ulayel Yishposu, that Hashem never rests day or night, because there is no day and night. There's always day somewhere. But for Yizem, Uvan Shabar Hatam, it makes sense, the reason, the Maskir Midas Yom Ulayel Midas Ulayel Biyom, why do we mention the characteristic of day and night, the characteristic of night during the day? He says, nearly possible, the Tamzeh, based on this reason, you can learn a very important Musar, something about an ethical message you can learn about yourself. Kia or Romez Latova, some of what we said. The day is the good. Choshech Lehepuch, the darkness is the opposite. Lachain Maskir Midas Yom Belaila, we mention Midas Yom during the dark time, at night. Lirmos to hint us, Im Omid Adam Yisurin, if we're in tremendous anguish and pain, which are comparable to Choshech. Laila, alias Ya'ish min Rachman. You should never give up hope from compassion. Even when you're at the darkest time, you should acknowledge that there will be light. There is light. You should hope for that. And he says, El Yikabel Alaminas Yom, you have to hope for the characteristic of day, even during the nighttime. Shuhato, Achaminas Laila. He says, unfortunately, the opposite. What? The characteristic of night. Biyom, Im Omid Batova, if you're sitting pretty, you're doing well. Shemitas Yom, Al Yisgaet B'Yivot. You should not get haughty and start kicking, thinking that all things are well for you and you can just ignore God and spirituality. Al Yisker Shevel Omitas Laila Shehu Choshech. You should also remember that there's this possibility that things are not always going to remain as great for you. So therefore, you should.
That's kind of things I always say.
Right, even at that moment, you always have to remember that right, things are not always as great as they seem. Right. Okay, so that's perhaps another significance. Okay, thank you.